And would you turn in your Bible to John's Gospel? We're continuing our series of these seven I Am statements. And so turn with me to John's Gospel and chapter 9. John's Gospel and chapter 9. Now, at least once a week, there'll be a knock at our door. I'll go to the door, I'll open the door, and somebody who I've never seen before will be standing there and wanting to know, is Christine in? Christine, at least once a week, I get asked that question on my own doorstep. There are four females who live in my house. None of them's called Christine. Don't worry, it's not the other wife hidden away. And it took me a while to work this out. Why were all these people coming to my door looking for Christine? I think I've pieced the story together. There's a lady called Christine who lives very close to me, and she works delivering parcels. So people will order some goods, maybe online. The parcels will come to Christine. She drives around Carrickfergus and she delivers parcels. And if she arrives at somebody's house and they're not in, she'll put one of the cards to the door saying, you can collect it from my house. My name's Christine. I have your parcel. Christine's address is very, very close to our address, but we live in the park and she lives in the drive. Sometimes Christine writes the wrong address on the card. How she ever delivers parcels around Carrickfergus when she doesn't know her own address is a bit of a mystery. So instead of writing her address, which is the drive, she writes the park. And so at least once a week, knock at the door, is Christine there? These people are coming and they're looking for something, but here's the problem. They're knocking at the wrong door. Life is full of people like that. Full of people who are looking for something, but they're knocking at the wrong door. Perhaps they're close, but not close enough. Maybe there's people, and maybe you're one of these people this morning, you're looking for direction in life. You're looking for purpose. Maybe you're looking for a peace in your heart. Maybe you're looking for something that will ease your conscience. Maybe you're looking for something that will take away the pain of guilt or whatever it is in your life. You're looking for it, but you're knocking at the wrong door. Trying lots of places, but it's the wrong door. Jesus Christ in Scripture says, I am the door. That's what Jesus says. And the reason so many people are knocking at the wrong door, they're not coming to Jesus, is they're blind to the truth. They're blind to the truth of who Jesus Christ actually is. And that's the reason why we have these I am statements in John's Gospel. It's Jesus' way of teaching exactly who he is, so that we might know that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. So in our first week, 2 weeks ago, we started in John chapter 6. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. I'm the one who gives life, real life, eternal life. Then last week, we looked at John chapter 8, and Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world, the light that steps into darkness. That was chapter 8. And right at the start here of chapter 9, Jesus meets a person whose whole life has been in darkness, physical darkness, because he's been born blind. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blinded from birth. And Jesus, miraculously, because he is the Son of God, heals this man and he gives him his sight. And so for the first time in his life, lightness shines into this man's eyes. He can see for the first time. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of this day, cannot cope with this. And they react in a bad way because they don't believe Jesus could heal a blind man. The reason they don't believe that is because they don't believe that Jesus really is who he says he is. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And because the religious leaders can't cope with this blind man who can now see, they get rid of him. They excommunicate him and they cast him out of the temple where this conversation is happening. And Jesus speaks, first of all, to this man, and then he speaks to these Pharisees, these religious leaders. He has a conversation with them, and that's where we're going to pick up the story as we start to read at verse 35. So John chapter 9, verse 35, let's listen to God's word. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so reads God's word. In this passage, in this conversation that Jesus has with these Pharisees, these religious leaders, he actually uses two of the I am statements. We've just read one of them, verse 7, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door." He repeats it in verse 9, "I am the door." And then if we were to continue on to verse 11, you would come across the next one where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." So he says he's the door, and he says he's the shepherd. You could say that he mixes his metaphors. We're going to concentrate on the first one this morning, where Jesus says, "I am the door," or it might say, "I am the gate" in your translation. It's the same word in Greek. Could be a door, could be a door or a gate. It's interchangeable. Doesn't change the message, whatever way it's translated in your Bible. We're going to concentrate on this one, the door. But there's not many sheep around Carrick. I haven't spotted too many in the 12 or so months that I have been living here. Where I used to live in Sainfield, a little country, rural village, sheep all the time. The back road that I often traveled to, you had to be careful because you might be going down that road when the farmer is moving his sheep from one field to the next, and you used to sit on the road as all these sheep used to wander along. I haven't spotted too many in Carrick. But as Jesus spoke here 2,000 years ago to these listeners in the temple here, these people would have been very familiar with sheep, would have been very familiar to the first hearers. They were Jews. And the Jews were God's chosen people. We think about the 12 tribes of Israel with 12 brothers that Jacob had, and what was their occupation? They were shepherds. We think of King David, the most famous, the greatest king of the children of Israel. What did he start off as? He was a shepherd. When Jesus Christ was born, who were the first people to hear the message? It was the shepherds outside of Bethlehem looking after the sheep. So Jews would have been very familiar with sheep and with shepherds. But also in the mindset of a Jew, if you were a leader, you were referred to as a shepherd. So a king in Israel would be looked upon as the shepherd of the people. A prophet would be looked upon as a shepherd as well. Micah, in his famous prophecy, we read it at Christmas time in Matthew's Gospel, when he talks about, or it's referred to in Matthew's Gospel, talks about the Messiah coming. The one who comes from God would be a shepherd of God's people, Israel. A shepherd was a leader. And as Jesus teaches here in this conversation, it's teaching that is packed with visual illustration. And he starts to talk about a sheepfold, verse 1 of chapter 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Now, the sheepfold that these listeners would have been familiar to, there would have been many of these sheepfolds splattered around the countryside. They were made out of stone walls, huge stone walls, about 10 feet high. And they were made to keep the sheep in and to keep intruders out. So huge stone walls, 10 feet high. And what we would normally do, this kind of wall, we want to keep people out, we'd put broken glass maybe along the top. Didn't have that kind of thing in Bible times. They would have taken big thorns, like the type of thorns they put on the Christ's head. And they would have put these thorns around the top of the sheepfold just to keep the protection of the sheep. And in this sheepfold, there would be a small opening, a doorway. And that's where the sheep would be led in. So every night, as the shepherds had taken their sheep out into the pasture, they would bring them back in the evening into the sheepfold. and they would bring them in. It wouldn't just be one shepherd's flock. So if I had a flock, I would lead my sheep into the sheepfold. If John was a local shepherd, he would bring his flock and lead them in. If Dermot was a shepherd, he would lead his sheep in as well. And then one of the shepherds would act as the door. He would be the gatekeeper. He would be the human door. And that night, he would lie in the doorway. His job was to keep the sheep safe. Keep them safe by not letting them wander out into danger and to stop other people coming in and stealing them as well. They acted as this human door. And the shepherds would come in the morning to bring their sheep out. The real shepherd would enter through the doorway. We see that in verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The thief and the robber doesn't try and go in through the doorway. He tries to climb over. If you see somebody climbing through the window of your house, it's probably not a family member, unless they've locked themselves out. And who would do that kind of thing? I mentioned a few weeks ago how I had done that kind of thing in a Sunday evening service. So I said that in the Sunday evening, and the next day, the Monday afternoon, guess what I did? I locked myself out of the house one more time. It's not the normal thing. Normally, people have that access, the genuine people, to go in through the doorway. But who's Jesus talking about here when he talks about thieves and robbers? Well, in the context of this conversation, it's people who he's looking at. It's the people who he's talking to, the Pharisees. And these Pharisees are spiritually blind. They've rejected Jesus, and they don't care about the sheep. They don't care about the flock, God's people. And instead of trying to care for the flock, they're trying to fleece the sheep. They're trying to steal them. They're trying to steal the people away from truth, and they're trying to steal these people away from Jesus Christ. They're just thieves and they're robbers. But the real shepherd's different. He calls the sheep by name. So what would happen in the morning is that if I would come along to the sheepfold, all these sheep mixed in, mingled from different shepherds, and I would call them out, and the sheep would recognize my voice. So my sheep would follow me, and I would lead them out of the flock. John's sheep would stay there because they don't know my voice. And then John would come along and he would speak and the real sheep that belonged to John would recognize his voice. And in Bible times, it's incredible to think that sheep had the capacity to do this, but they would follow them out. And they didn't lead them with sheepdogs, drive them the way shepherds would today. No, the shepherd went out in front and he led them. Never left them. He led them and he continued to give them practice our protection as well. Look at verses 3 and 4. To him the gatekeeper opens, this is the real shepherd, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He knows the flock personally. This is a picture of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Sheep look the same, don't they? All sheep look the same to the untrained eye. Tells us here the shepherd knows each of them by name. He knows them individually. And not only does he know them, the sheep recognize his voice and they follow him. These Pharisees who Jesus is talking to, they think they're in the flock. They think they're God's chosen people. But they don't recognize Jesus' voice. They don't recognize the truth and they have rejected him. They're still blind. They just don't understand. They don't even understand this illustration that Jesus is trying to teach to them. We see this in verse 6. So this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. They did not recognize or even understand his voice. And so Christ makes the point again, and he makes it very clearly. He explains his illustration in verse 7 and 11. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." So he said, we're going to concentrate on the first illustration here this morning. I am the door. He repeats it in verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." I am the door. It's a strange illustration. What does it mean, I am the door? Obviously, he doesn't mean literally he's the door. What he's talking about, he is the door, he's the entrance, he's the access into salvation. It's a picture of how somebody is saved. It's a picture of how somebody becomes a Christian. It's a very, very simple illustration. And it's a simple illustration that teaches us two things. It teaches us about access, and it teaches us about security. Let's think about the first one, access. Verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me. So at nighttime, as we already said, the shepherd would lie down, one of the shepherds in the doorway, and he would be the human door. He would be the human gate. He kept the sheep in, and he kept the thieves and robbers out. The only access into the flock was through the shepherd, literally. If you wanted to get in, the walls were too high, the thorns were there, it was dangerous to get in. You had to literally go through that shepherd who was blocking and guarding the way. The only way to become a Christian, the only way to have salvation, the only way to join the flock as such, to become a child of God, is through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the door. And the definite article is there. He doesn't say a door or one of many doors. There's a few entrances around the back or another one around the side. He says, I am the door. And the implication of that definite article is that he is the only way. It echoes one of those other I am verses where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus Christ is the door to salvation. So why is Jesus Christ the door? Well, he's the door because he is the Son of God. He is the one sent from God. But at this time, people used to worship God, and they used to worship him in the temple. This is where this conversation is taking place. And there in the temple was a special room called the Holy of Holies. That is where the very presence of God dwelt, in this special room called the Holy of Holies. And there was a large curtain called a veil that separated people on one side and the presence of God on the other side. And human beings weren't allowed to go through that veil, through the curtain, into God's presence. Why? Because God is holy and God is pure. It was a great picture of who God is and his uniqueness and his perfection. And human beings weren't allowed. There was a barrier was between them and God's presence. There was no access. They were kept outside. Only one person was allowed into the Holy of Holies. Only one person was allowed into God's presence. That was the high priest, and he was only allowed to do it once a year. So on the Day of Atonement, and as he came into God's presence, he came with blood, blood that was sprinkled as part of a sacrifice to give atonement, to make people at one with God because of their sin. So once a year, one person was allowed into God's presence. And then Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was the perfect sacrifice. He shed his blood for our sins, and he rose again so that he could forgive us and he could make atonement. He could make us at one with God. And he could bring us into God's presence. He could give us access into God, that we might be known as a child of God who he knows by name. And when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, when he died, Mark's gospel tells us that an incredible thing happened. At the point where Jesus Christ died on the cross, that large curtain, that veil that was in the temple, was split in two. It's a brilliant symbolic picture that access into God's presence was now available. Jesus Christ had paid the price for our sins. Jesus Christ had broken his way through that barrier that separated sinful people from holy God. And Jesus Christ is the access into God's presence. Jesus Christ is the access so we become a child of God and we can have this access with God as well. If you want salvation, Jesus Christ is the door. He's the only door. You come by faith and you come to Jesus Christ. You come by faith believing that he died in your place to take the punishment for your sin. And there's no other way that you can have access to God except coming through Jesus Christ and what he did in your place. It's not what we do, how we try and improve our life and try and get it up to God's standard, because it will always fall short. We come with faith and believing in what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we put all of our faith and trust in Christ, then we have access. And this is a door that accepts anyone. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, it's not as if there's a bouncer on this door. Some of these nightclubs, you'll find these bouncers on the door, and their job is to let people in, but also to keep people out. Undesirables. People who don't look the part. They're not wearing the right dress code. They're not beautiful enough for the kind of crowd that they want inside. And his job is to keep people in, keep people out. No bouncer on this door. It says, anyone. Anyone who comes. Doesn't matter who you are this morning. Doesn't matter your past, what you've done, how much guilt you might be feeling in your heart. Doesn't matter your current situation, how your life might be totally unraveling. It says, anyone enters by me. It's by coming to Christ we'll have access through into God. Be part of God's family. Many, many people are looking. They're looking for peace with God, maybe a peace for their conscience. They're looking for direction in life, but they're knocking on the wrong door. They're blind. They're searching around, but they need to come to Jesus Christ. And maybe this morning your eyes have been opened. Your eyes have been opened for the first time, and you realize that Jesus Christ is the door. He's the access to God. He's the access to forgiveness for our sins, taking away the guilt of our past. He's the access into this flock, God's children, a real Christian. He's access into eternal life. And if that's you this morning, if your eyes have been opened, then come. Come to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Lord and your Savior. For those of us who are believers, who are Christians this morning, we need to lead other people to the same door. That is the mission that we have been given by Jesus Christ, to lead people to Christ. Lead people to a person and not a lifestyle. Let me say that again. Our responsibility as believers is to lead people to a person and not a lifestyle. You don't go to people and say, come along to church. You love church. You know, the music's good and people are very, very friendly. Or you want this kind of lifestyle. You want to be a Christian. It's great. Hopefully those things I've just said are true. We don't encourage people to a lifestyle. We encourage people to come to Christ. We plead with them to come to a person, Jesus Christ, and put their faith and trust not in a lifestyle, like coming along to church, being that kind of person a Christian is. We plead with them to come to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the door. My neighbor, Christine, she's given the wrong addresses. People are close, but they're not close enough. And so as Christians, as we have conversations with people in our workplace, as we have conversations maybe at Walk for Life tomorrow, if we have conversations at the pageant, bring people to the door. Lead them to Jesus Christ. It's the person you need to share with them. That's the important thing. So we think about our pageant in a few weeks. It's great to meet people. The hundreds of people we'll meet that day. It's great to get them tea, face paint the kids, make contact. But you know what the real purpose is? It's to bring them to the door, which is Jesus Christ. The real reason we're going to be there and have a presence is that we can have conversation. That's why we really want to put an emphasis on that this year. And so we want people to sign up. Yes, we need people who are going to be involved in the practical ministries. That gives us opportunity to meet people. But our real heart, our real purpose of that is so that we can have conversations and lead people to the door, to lead them to Jesus Christ. We don't want people we meet at the pageant or for Walk for Life walking away and thinking, isn't Carrickfergus Baptist Church great? Aren't those lovely people? They give me a cup of tea for free. They painted my child's face. Aren't they nice people? We don't want them going away thinking we're great. We want them going away thinking Jesus Christ is great. And the reason he's great is because he loved me despite my sin. And he died on the cross taking the punishment that I deserved so that I could be forgiven. So that I could be brought into God's family, that I might have access to a holy and a perfect God, that I would live with a holy and perfect God forever and ever. And so it's our responsibility to lead them to a person, Jesus Christ. So that's the access. But we also think in these verses about security. It says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. The word saved there also means rescued. It's the same meaning in the original language. And sin separates us from God. We've talked about that this morning. It separates us from God. But God, when he saves us, when he rescues us, he brings us into the flock as one of his sheep, one of his children. And as he brings us in, he brings us into security. He brings us into the sheepfold as such, into his protection and into his care because he is the good shepherd. He also gives us these incredible blessings. We're given eternal life in the future, but also meaningful life that starts right now. Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Some Christians are worried. Maybe you're one of these Christians this morning. You're worried about your security. Are you really saved? You think at a point in your life where you trusted Christ as your Savior, but maybe you have doubts. Maybe you have doubts about your security. Did I really come? Did I fully believe? Am I really saved? Often we find this with children. Children come to you and say, I prayed a prayer and I've prayed it lots of times because I wasn't sure did I pray it properly the first time. Did God really hear? And when people have doubts about your security. It's not just for children who have doubts. Many, many adults doubt the security of their salvation as well. Well, if you really came to Christ, and if you truly believe, then you really are saved. Your salvation is certain. The one who saved you is able to keep you. Jesus develops this further on in the passage. Look down to verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow them, follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Verse 28 again, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. See, Jesus helps the sheep to persevere in their faith. Not only does he call them, but he also helps to keep them. That means that Christians, we still face attack. We still face temptations and trials, attacks from Satan to make us sin, but we are secure. It's like he says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. It's like a coin held tightly. I give my children coins when the offering's coming around, coins to put into the offering bag, trying to teach them about giving. And you have this fear that a child drops the coin on the wooden floor here, and as we're singing or somebody's talking, there's this big rattle. And so you tell the child to put the coin in the hand and to grip it tightly, to snatch it. There's always this fear, though, with little fingers that the coin will somehow slip out, rattle it on the floor, and roll somewhere towards the back. There's no worries with God, though. Once we're in the palm of his hand, nothing will ever slip through. He's got us firmly in his grasp. See, this shepherd lies in the doorway. He guards it. He protects the sheep. He protects them from thieves getting in, and he also protects the sheep from wandering out and wandering into danger. His eye is always upon them. Every night, I lock the door of my house. I've actually got three doors, a front door, a side door, and a back door. And that's my final job every evening before I go to bed. I take the responsibility of making sure that all three doors are locked. I want to check. I want to keep my family safe. I don't want to give open access to somebody who's just going to walk in the middle of the night. But here's the reality. Your safety is only as strong as your door. Isn't that true? Your safety is only as good or as strong as your door. If you've got a flimsy door with a cheap lock, something that's just hanging on the hinges, it's not going to give you much protection. But Jesus is stronger, isn't he? He's stronger than anything else. We can trust him with our security. When we moved into our house here in Carrick, one of the first things I noticed was that there was no gate between the side of the house and the garage. So when you were in the back garden, there was just open access to escape round the side. And so one of the first jobs I did was I got a gate put up. Adam Martin did a great job. You can pay me later for the free advertising here this morning. He put a gate. One of the first days we moved in, gate was put there. It wasn't to keep people out. It was to keep my little ones in. I could picture a three-year-old on her scooter, but like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape, looking at this freedom and making a burst for it, out down the street, but out into the path of a car. Out into terrible, terrible danger. And so this gate was put up, this doorway was put up for their protection. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. I am the door that gives you access, but I'm also the door that gives you security as well. Now, the sheep don't always stay in the sheepfold. They don't stay in the sheepfold 24 hours a day. They sleep in there, but they're led out and they're taken to pasture so they can be fed as well. And that's what a good shepherd does. We read that already, how the shepherd leads them out. But as he leads them out into the pasture, he never leaves them. His protection, his eye of protection is always upon them. His staff is in his hand to drive away anybody who would come and attack. Jesus promises that if we are his child, if we're one of his flock, we will never perish. Some doubt it, though. Maybe you've failed God in the past week. Maybe you've sinned. Maybe you've let him down. John prayed about that at the start. He prayed a prayer of confession because how we haven't lived as we should have in the past week. And maybe as you sit here this morning, you're thinking, I wonder if I'm really a Christian. The things that I've done in the past week. Well, conviction's good. It's good to have conviction for the wrong things, because when we're convicted, we come to our Savior, we confess our sin, and we receive forgiveness for it. It's good to have a conscience when we do wrong things. Do you know what the worst thing is? Apathy. People who do wrong things don't care about it. People who call themselves Christians but live in a lifestyle which is totally contrary to Scripture, totally contrary to the way Christ has taught us to live. And if you're like that, you call yourself a Christian, you're not living like a Christian, and you're just apathetic about it, shrug your shoulders, it doesn't really bother you, well, maybe that's a sign that you're not truly converted, that you're not regenerated and you have not been born again by the Spirit of God. But conviction's good. And having a conscience, it's a sign that the Spirit of God is in you, convicting you of your sin. But you're struggling with this whole issue of security. Am I really a Christian? If I'm really a Christian, would I have done that thing in this past week? Romans 8 is a great chapter speaking about this. Starts off first one by saying, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, that means if you're a Christian, if you're in the flock, there is no condemnation. We are not perfect. We have a desire to live more like Christ. One day we will be perfect, but we still have our weaknesses. We still have our sins that we struggle with here in the human body, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then chapter 8 goes on to develop this and says, what can separate us from the love of God? And it lists things. Can these separate us from God's love? And what's the answer? What can separate us from the love of God? It says nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Satan will try and separate you. He'll put these thoughts in your mind. Call yourself a Christian. You did that this week. You watched that. You went to that place. You spoke to that person in that way. Call yourself a Christian. You're not really. You've lost your salvation. No. If we're in Christ, if we've come to the door, we are totally secure. And maybe for some of you, you need to hear that promise this morning. Christ is the one who gives us access, but he also gives us security. But let me finish this morning with words of a chorus I learned when I was in Sunday school. Many of you will have heard this chorus before. The words of the chorus went, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? Let me say it again. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? And that's what really, really matters this morning. Jesus Christ is the door. There's inside and there's outside. On which side are you? Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Maybe your eyes have been blinded to this truth for a long time. But this morning you realize that Jesus Christ is the door. He is the access to God the Father. He is the access into God's family. Then come to Christ this morning and put your faith and trust in him and move from the outside and move to the end. If you're on the inside this morning, rejoice in that this morning. Give thanks to God for the great work that he has done. You don't deserve it. And it's all through grace and his love and his mercy that you are now in the flock. And rest in this confidence that once you're in, you're secure because the Good Shepherd cares for you and he protects you. And if you're inside, what is our mission to do? It's to plead with those who are on the outside to come to Jesus Christ. He is the door. We're going to take a few moments just to pause. We're going to take a few moments just to think and respond to God's word in our hearts. We're going to have a few moments of silence, just a chance for you to pray, respond to God's word. Maybe for the first time to come to the one who is the door, Jesus Christ, and put your faith and trust in him. Maybe those people who are struggling with doubts and security, just to ask God for his help, just to take these promises that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. that nothing can snatch you out of his hand, and to pray the truth of these promises into your heart and your life, and to live in the light of them. Remember, he's given you the boldness to invite somebody along to walk for life or have a conversation tomorrow with people and to tell them that Jesus Christ is the door and he is the way to salvation. Let's take a few moments in silence and then I'll pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for these great statements, these I am statements. We praise you that Jesus Christ is the door, that he is access into the Father, into God's presence, that we might have life, eternal life, life in all its abundance, that we can be known as a child of God. It's not through anything we deserve, but what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, making that access available. We praise you that Jesus Christ is the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We thank you that not only is he the access, but he's also the one who guarantees our security, that no one will snatch us from his hand. And help us to rest and trust and live in the light of that great, great promise. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's lovely name, amen.